Thanks for listening to this podcast. I'm Bob Kinzel, co-host of Vermont Edition. Just wanted to let you know that this has been edited for brevity.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Mitch Wertlieb in for Jane Lindholm. Are you sick of long commutes, stuck in traffic in big cities like L.A. or Houston? Want to live in a state with some of the most scenic views in the country, a low crime rate, and award-winning craft breweries? Well, you might just want to move to Vermont. And, oh, did we mention, the state will pay you up to $10,000 if you work remotely from home for an out-of-state business. That's the sales pitch the state is making after Governor Phil Scott signed a bill approved by lawmakers in Montpelier to do just that. Sound too good to be true? Well, like a lot of bills, you've got to delve into the details to find out if there's a devil lurking there. And we've got some guests today to help explain exactly what this legislation entails and why it got near unanimous approval from Democratic lawmakers and the Republican governor, something that has been noticeably lacking when it comes to, for example, the state budget. Now, with me today in our Colchester studios is Vermont Secretary of Commerce and Community Development, Michael Sherling. Michael, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Also, we have Samantha Sheehan, who owns the Valley.Works co-working space in Waitsfield. Samantha, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you.
And a guest who knows a lot about working remotely from home, because that's what he does, from Richmond, Vermont. Bradley Holt manages a team of developer advocates for IBM. And Bradley, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
And before we get started, a couple of quick disclaimers. Samantha Sheehan works for Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility, or VBSR, and they are a VPR underwriter. And during our discussion this hour, Samantha's views will be her own and not those of VBSR. That goes the same for Bradley Holt, who is not speaking on behalf of IBM for purposes of this discussion. Again, thanks so much to all of you for being here today. Michael Sherling, I'd like to start with you. Up to $10,000 for someone who commits to living in Vermont, working remotely from home for an out-of-state business. Where is this $10,000 coming from?
This is a general fund appropriation across 3 years, and it's something that the legislature crafted as part of this initiative.
Is it an unlimited pool of money, or is there a cap here?
There are caps for each of the 3 years. Initial year is $125,000, followed by $250,000, followed by another $125,000.
And you mentioned the time frame. This is set up for 3 years, and it's not going to go beyond that unless, I suppose, it's this experiment works a little bit. Is that kind of the thinking behind this?
That's true. And as with anything with the state budget, it is also subject to appropriations in the out years. So it's preliminarily framed as three, but subject to the appropriation being made in the out years. Also important to note, many of the headlines have been a straight $10,000 to move here as a remote worker. And it's very important to note from the outset that we have to design a program that we have not yet begun to contemplate the details of. And there will be parameters around which of the allowable areas can be reimbursed for what amount over the 2-year reimbursement period that's allowed by the law.
So depending on how you qualify for this, you may not get necessarily $10,000. You may get up to that. It could be $5,000, something like that.
That's correct. And okay, we have to figure out what those parameters are, and we'll engage a variety of stakeholders to figure that out.
I can imagine at least one reason behind this, and this is this ongoing effort to get more people to move to Vermont, especially young people. As I said at the top, this is something that was embraced by the governor, the Democratic legislators. Have there been some other reasons to get this bill going and get this out there?
Yes. Anyone who owns a business, works in a nonprofit, is working for government at this stage knows that our number one challenge is workforce. We need to recruit more workers, more young families to Vermont in order to sustain the operations that we have in our existing economy and to grow that economy. This is one fragment of that effort. The governor put forth a concept early in the legislative session to spend over $3 million, about $3.2 million to recruit workers. This would have been a small fragment of that, and it would have also gone to attract workers for existing Vermont businesses. That effort, unfortunately, didn't make the light of day.
Samantha Sheehan, let me turn to you now. You run a co-working space in Waitsfield. It's called Valley.Works. What is a co-working space generally, and what gets done there?
Yeah. So a co-working space is one of many types of collaborative work environments. You may have also heard of maker spaces, generator spaces, business incubators. Which all provide a variety of amenities for the people who work there. A co-working space basically stops at the amenities you would usually think of being provided for you at in a brick-and-mortar office. So most typically, of course, they're desks and chairs, high-speed, reliable, high-quality internet access, sometimes phone, sometimes private places to make phone calls, conference spaces, coffee, tea, maybe beer, ample parking, and they are usually located in a walkable, accessible downtown location.
And what about this bill particularly appeals to you and what doesn't?
Oh, big question.
It is. We're going to hit you with the big one right away.
So I was really happy to testify in favor of S-94 when it originally hit the first committee reading. And at that time, it was a very different piece of legislation. What I don't like about the bill is the piece that is getting the most national attention, which is the up to $10,000 remote relocation grants. I feel like that was a short-sighted allocation. The remote work trends in Vermont are already very positive and in our favor and much ahead of the rest of the country, rurally and even in city centers. So I think it was the wrong carrot. I think that that money would have been better invested and would have been a more perennial investment had it been made and given to small and medium-sized Vermont-located businesses, which are already learning that they need to make the investment in the hardware and software required in order to hire remote or remote flex workers in order to continue to be competitive with their hiring. There are things in the bill that I really like. There's a lot of language which supports the idea and would make remote work more accessible to state workers, which would save the state of Vermont money and also broaden their hiring pool to all four corners of the state, which is fantastic. I think that the language in the bill really gets at what is best about co-working and leveraging collaborative workspaces, which is that it inspires productivity, work-life balance, cross-pollination of ideas and concepts, which are helpful, especially when you cohabitate for-profit, nonprofit, and government workers all in one locale.
When you get a lot of people working together, when you're talking about collaborative, you get a lot of ideas exchanged.
Yes.
And, you know, people all working towards the same goal in a lot of ways.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I really appreciate about this bill is that it recognizes co-working and municipally located collaborative workspaces as being part of the telecommunications infrastructure in the state, which is a really key point. We can't expect that our telecommunication providers overnight will be able to reach every residence in the state with fiber optic cable. And so, locating these spaces, whether they are housed in a business like the Lightning Jar at VSECU in Bennington, or whether they're privately owned and operated like MySpace Valley Works, these are places that are just built right over the main line fiber optic cable and helps bring people outside of their homes and residences into the downtown to work.
Bradley Holt, you work from home in Richmond. So first, sorry for getting you out of the office today, or maybe you like being out of the office for a little bit. How long have you been working remotely from home?
So I've been working remotely from home for about 3.5 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, I ran a small business. So that was effectively remote work as well. And it's a lot of times people frame remote work as being a benefit to the remote worker, but mm-hmm. I think a lot of it is just as beneficial to the company. There's a lot of productivity gain and the ability, especially in the work that I do, software sorts of work, the ability to focus,
mm-hmm.
And the ability to not be distracted by someone walking over to your cubicle and saying, "Hey, I've got a quick question for you."
Right.
And I think it's actually can be hugely beneficial for companies to embrace remote work.
Yeah. So it's a little different than what Samantha is describing with the co-working space. You don't have other people around you, and you're self-motivating and making sure you're doing this all on your own. But there are those benefits there. But what about this new law here? Is there something about it that you find perhaps lacking?
Well, I mean, overall, I think it's Vermont should be focused on attracting remote workers. I think that's definitely a huge benefit to Vermont. There's a big pay gap between what Vermont companies pay and what employers in bigger cities like Boston or New York or the Bay Area pay. So I think it's definitely good for Vermont to get plugged into those larger economies. I would like to see Vermont focused on more substantive policies, though, things like better internet infrastructure. I think that's a huge detractor for people that work remotely. It's some of the most beautiful places in Vermont are the least have the least internet access available to them. So I think getting that more widespread would be hugely beneficial. I think the co-working spaces that Samantha mentioned would be is one way to help with that for sure.
Well, you anticipated a lot of our questions that we're getting from listeners, actually. We have gotten a lot of comment and question on this particular bill. Courtney writes to us and says, I am in my late 20s and I moved to Cambridge, Vermont a year ago with the hope of someday working remotely. But I just canceled my internet after a year because the speed is so slow, it's not worth the money. It's a problem for all our neighbors. This is a roadblock that needs to be addressed before we recruit new Vermonters to work from home. So, Michael Sherling, is that an issue here? I mean, we already have a pretty good workforce in Chittenden County, but outside places like Cambridge, how is this going to work if we can't even get high-speed broadband internet to work there reliably?
It is it's a common observation and complaint. There are pockets of great internet around Vermont, but it is not ubiquitously available. And it's something that we've begun to focus on from the economic development perspective. One of the things we put forth this year was the Think Vermont Innovation Initiative, which actually found its way into S94 as another component. And one of the things that we suggested was to allow us to have some more flexible money to invest in pilot projects for broadband, to test new technologies, to partner with both providers and communities and neighborhoods to try to create a playbook or a roadmap to how to deploy broadband in smaller chunks and in more creative ways rather than these big build-outs. You know, the estimate is it would take about $500 million to build out the entire state, primarily based on its geography and those challenges. And the economics of that just don't make sense for a business to build out that $500 million build. The return on that investment wouldn't work. So finding creative ways to cross-pollinate those investments and to test new technologies, we think, is the way forward. And we're hopeful to get a larger chunk of money to test that out. We did get $150,000 that will be spread across a variety of different things that we think will help grow Vermont's economy and test new innovative strategies. Among them is broadband deployment.
Let's go to the phones. We have Wayne on the line from Hinesburg. Hi, Wayne. You're on Vermont Edition.
Hello. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for the call.
So, like Samantha, I testified a few times on S94, and it definitely changed a lot. And what I've been most interested in is how remote work can be used to bring good-paying jobs to the areas of Vermont that need them. I know we were talking about the data infrastructure, which is definitely can be a roadblock. There are some areas that do have good infrastructure, like down around Springfield, and I think there's some areas of Rutland County. And what's interesting is you can actually, in today's world, you can have a good career path, and I think Bradley's speaking to this, and other people have background in this, working completely remote. You know, it's not just about entry-level jobs. You can actually learn coding. You can learn some tech support. Hmm. You can do consulting. And so there's ways to actually serve those areas of Vermont outside of Chittenden County that people are talking about with good job opportunities. And like Samantha said, is you look at these innovation hubs or co-working spaces or making spaces in the villages, and if those can get wired up, then those can become kind of that place for people to go, and they kind of become the local entrepreneurial hub for that area. And I think that's what's happening with a lot of the spaces around the state.
Yeah, Wayne, thank you very much for that call. Samantha, is it possible to get those places wired up like Wayne is talking about?
Yeah. So I'm not a telecommunications professional, but I can tell you that the install, you know, ValleyWorks occupies the second story of a historic downtown building. And our install through Waitsfield Champlain Valley Telecom is pretty simple because they ran fiber just up the chimney and to a router. I would like to talk about, you know, Wayne's first point as well, which is that remote work offers, you know, the income to Vermont workers that they need in order to continue to afford to live here. And one kind of important myth buster is that in communities like mine in the Mataror Valley, where there is not good, reliable cell service or residential high-speed internet at every residence, and where the affordability crisis is maybe happening in the worst way. So in the Mataror Valley, a minimum wage worker would have to work 93 hours to afford a one-bedroom apartment. Wow. And interestingly, we also have about 13% of the residential workforce working remotely, whereas in the state, it's closer to 7%, and nationally, it's closer to 3%. So in these communities that are experiencing this affordability crisis that we're so familiar with here in the state of Vermont, remote, and with the barriers that we do have in telecommunications infrastructure, remote work is already addressing those problems.
Bradley, is that your experience? Do you think that this is kind of the future to solve at least a little bit of the affordability crisis?
Definitely. I mean, I think that, you know, if you can bring in – you can increase the tax base by bringing in these good-paying jobs, definitely helps these communities. I think with this bill, I think there's been some controversy about the you know, giving handouts to people that have good-paying jobs. So that's a little bit of a challenge. But I think overall, if we can find ways to bring remote workers in, I think it is ultimately beneficial to all of Vermont's economy, because these are good-paying jobs and they do support the local tax base, and these are people spending money in their local communities.
We have gotten some comments that speaks directly to what you just said, though, Bradley. Someone posted saying Vermont should be helping people who already live in Vermont and are unemployed or underemployed to get remote jobs. And there may be a danger here of people who are already hooked up. You know, if you're moving from San Francisco or something and you're already literate in these ways of doing things, you're probably pretty well off. Michael Sherling, is that something that the state is concerned about here? I mean, you're offering up to $10,000. It's a great economic incentive, but is it going to the right people?
There is a concern. As I said to begin with, this is a piece of what is and should be a much larger strategy to grow the workforce and grow the economy. So a number of observations from the conversation over the last couple of minutes. There are more than 60 job training programs in state government already. So there's a lot being done to retrain existing Vermont workforce, to upscale that workforce. And we're working diligently to redesign those programs and deploy that money as best as possible. It's tens of millions of dollars that go into those programs. There's certainly more that could be done, we feel, in terms of providing either incentives or initiatives that help to recruit more workers generally to Vermont to fill existing vacancies. So that's a piece of the puzzle. But relative to the remote workers, a number of points have already been made about the pay and things of that nature. It does help in an ancillary way to recruit workers for existing Vermont businesses, because one of the challenges we hear perennially is a trailing spouse issue. So you're coming here to work for a Vermont company, and you have a significant other or family member that also needs a job, and their area of expertise may not be resident in that particular area where you're working. If they can take their job with them, that's a huge advantage to transplanting not one worker but two to Vermont. The second point is that I had the great fortune of being able to work out of the Vermont Center for Emerging Technologies for about 18 months before taking this job, and it was fascinating to see folks like Bradley and other folks there move from Vermont companies to out-of-state companies and back. And The more we grow the ecosystem, the more workers we have here with talent at every level of the job scale, the better off Vermont businesses are going to be. So there's some ancillary benefit there as well. And then back to the beginning, $10,000, we suggested a smaller amount. It's framed again as an up to.
How small was it that you suggested?
We are on the record as saying somewhere between $1,000 and $2,000 is probably the number to in order to allow us to recruit a larger number of people. That's equally important.
That's interesting. That probably wouldn't have made the headline in the New York Times, though.
Perhaps not.
Yeah, no. Which is, again, you do wonder if this is do you look at this as sort of a PR thing? Samantha, let me put that to you.
Yeah, and it's been a hugely successful PR moment for the state of Vermont and for the remote work community that is here. It's important to say that the remote work trend doesn't start and stop at the borders of the state. And we need to prepare our workers who live here and our employers for what will be a lasting workforce trend. The secretary made an important point. I might prefer the language skilled partner over trailing spouse, but that is...
That sounds better.
Yeah, that is something we hear from many businesses in the Valley. The opportunity of remote work that I'm most excited about is the opportunity for Vermont-located businesses to find skilled Vermont-located workers and hire them remotely.
Now, this bill, specifically talks about working remotely for an out-of-state business. So I'm wondering what both of your visions, and I'm talking Bradley and Samantha here, your vision would be to strengthen those Vermont businesses here. How would that work with a working from remote job?
Well, Secretary Schwerling did mention a couple of benefits of these – of bringing in remote employees. I think he mentioned that you've got an increased talent pool here of people. So those are people that could be recruited for local companies. The Burlington area, Vermont in general, but especially the Burlington area, has a really great tech meetup scene. So there are a lot of different meetups where developers and high-tech workers get together and learn from each other. So the bigger talent pool you have here, you're actually – increasing that knowledge sharing that's happening for people that are working for these other companies might be bringing in other skills and experience. So there is an additional benefit to that as well as having this high-tech pool of workers and skilled pool of workers here definitely has an indirect but important benefit to Vermont companies, even if those employees don't end up working directly for those companies.
That's the voice of Bradley Holt, who works remotely in Richmond, managing a team of developer advocates for IBM. We're also with Samantha Sheehan, who owns the Valley Works co-working space in Waitsfield. And we're with Michael Schwerling, Vermont Secretary of Commerce and Community Development. Lots of calls coming in wanting to weigh in on this topic. Alex is calling from Montpelier. Hi, Alex. You with us, Alex?
Hello.
Hi, you're on Vermont Edition. Go right ahead.
I work for a local nonprofit. I've got a relatively decent paying job, and I'm actually in the process of leaving the state because I can't afford to live here. So it's kind of ironic to hear this bill passed at this point and just incentives being made to bring out-of-staters in. This is my third time trying to live in Vermont and make ends meet, and there's frankly not enough money, even as an educated professional individual, to stick around. So it's interesting because I'm moving to Pittsburgh, and perhaps I'll be able to use this incentive to move back. But that's quite a long trip, I would say.
That is. We hope the fourth time is the charm, Alex. I'm sorry that that's been your experience here. Do you think, had this bill come up sooner, this is something that could have helped you?
Well, if it's for out-of-staters, I mean, there's I know folks in different cities who have built up their job to the point where they can work remotely and then come up here, but it doesn't start here. It starts in cities like New York or Boston because people want to live up here, but frankly, the money doesn't really live up here with them. You have to find it somewhere else to bring it back.
Well, Alex, thank you very much for the call. We wish you the best of luck in whatever endeavor you have. Samantha, would you like to say something about that?
Yeah, I would like to both disagree and agree with the caller. As far as remote work only starting in city centers and it being something that you can kind of earn the flexibility to have, I'd say that that's a trend that is really quickly changing. And I would encourage anybody listening who is a Vermonter who may be looking for a remote position to look for some online tools and resources. There are many entry-level positions that are available for full-time remote hiring and also a variety of skilled and mid and upper level management positions that are also available. I'd also like to say that I really hear you when you say that affordability is a problem for you. In the Mad River Valley, I think everybody under 35, it's some huge number. It's like 75% of people under 35 make less than $1,200 a month. And this is a place where it costs $900 a month to rent a one-bedroom apartment. So affordability in and around, all over the state, in and outside of Chittenden County, is a really serious problem. And there's so many ways that S-94 can be leveraged by residents.
Let's go to Helen, who's calling from Heartland. Hello, Helen.
Hi, how are you?
Well, thank you.
Good. I moved up here. I guess I moved up here too quickly because I moved up here in December from New Jersey. I work for the Nature Conservancy, which is a large conservation organization. Even though there are different chapters in each state and countries around the world, the main corporate offices are in Arlington, Virginia. That's where our checks come out of, and I was wondering if that would qualify. I mean, it won't for me because I'm already up here, but would that qualify under this new law?
Again, we haven't crafted the structure yet, but I think at first glance it would qualify under the spirit of what's been passed.
Well, that might work out for you then, Helen. What should Helen do to find out if she can qualify for this?
Monitor thinkvermont.com for updates or send information to info@thinkvermont.com to sign up for direct updates to your email box.
Thank you very much for that call, Helen. We got this comment from Josh, who writes, "My wife and I have worked remotely from Burlington for the past 7 years. We're in our early 30s. We work primarily out of New York City in the arts and chose to settle in Burlington due to its internet access, but we plan to move to our Central Vermont property once fiber optic internet reaches there. Although this new incentive is attractive on the surface, I would have loved to have seen something that benefits those who are already doing this and are committed to staying." Let's go to David, who's calling from Woodstock. Hi, David.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I appreciate it. Well, I've been listening with interest to this. Of course, there's many aspects of this bill that are fascinating. It'll be interesting to see where it goes. But I just wanted to point out that not everything is centered in Burlington or Chittenden County. Down here in East Central Vermont, there's an organization that I've been affiliated with since 2007 called EC Fiber. And we've been working real hard to bring fiber optic internet to every business and resident in our 24-town area. And we just celebrated having 2,500 paying customers, which is really terrific. And a note that whenever we talk about economic development, somehow it gets wrapped around ubiquitous access to the internet. Mm. And so while it's been a long haul, largely because we did not receive any government funding, we are making progress and look forward to other people in Vermont following our lead.
Thank you very much, David, for that call. We have this posted from Maurice on Facebook. How about retention? A very recent case, an IT person, highly skilled, took a job with a California company. He chose to stay in Vermont because the company allows remote employment. Isn't retaining such highly skilled professionals as important to Vermont as attracting newbies? I guess everybody here would say yes. But Bradley, let me ask you, is that a usual thing where you're going to have out-of-state companies who are going to allow Vermonters to work remotely from home? Is that happening more and more?
I think so. I think it is definitely a trend that's happening in the workforce. I think you're seeing more and more remote work. I said earlier, there's a huge benefit to working remotely, not just for the employee, but also for the employer. And I think that more and more companies are realizing that and realizing that both to attract highly skilled employees, but also to retain those employees, and they can be more work independent of their geography. And for a lot of the work that you're seeing, a lot of these high tech jobs, there's no real reason why you need to have everyone in the same office. So why create a barrier to attracting somebody or retaining that employee when there's really not much of a need for that?
Michael Sherling?
I think this question, much like an earlier question, goes to affordability as part of the answer. We've got to work on ensuring that taxes and fees at the moment don't grow, but then grow commensurate with incomes. We've got to work on housing affordability and availability. That equation changes a little bit from place to place in Vermont, but by and large, we've got to be able to find ways to develop the right kinds of housing that fits with people's lifestyles at the right time, whether that's downtown and village center housing or other housing. We've got to have that available, and it's got to be affordable, and the tax structure that goes with that has to be affordable.
But do the people who may be attracted to this announcement about S-94 know that? Because you and I were talking briefly before we even went to air, and you were saying you can't believe the number of people that have responded to this as a national story. It's unreal.
Yes, 800 direct responses. There have been significant increases in newsletter signups. Our 802NU newsletter has had 4,000 additional people in the last few days added to it. Our thinkvermont.com traffic is up 177%.
177%.
177%.
Wow.
And social media hits are up 700%,
yeah.
Which goes to how people are communicating. But it all weaves together. This is a piece of what is a larger economic development strategy, a larger set of investments that are needed, and as much focus on ensuring that we're doing the right things in terms of affordability to both, once you recruit them, to retain those folks, and more importantly, to retain the great talent that we've got here in Vermont already.
I'd like to work in one more phone call. Rachel's on the line from Weybridge. Hi, Rachel.
Hi. I'm a trailing spouse or a professional partner, I guess is what the other term was.
Right.
And my husband's a Vermonter and was desperate to get back here. And we got all signed up to get back here, and we both actually ended up finding jobs. But our real stopping point was childcare. Mm. We're young. We have two small children, and there's just such a lack of childcare in the state. We almost didn't move over it.
Rachel, thank you for that call. I hadn't even thought about that. Samantha, you have some thoughts on that?
Yeah. So childcare, access to affordable, high quality childcare is a big problem. And again, remote work and, this is a way that Vermont employers can begin to address some of these problems and feel empowered to do so. So developing remote work and flexible work arrangements, work from home, or providing a close-to-home co-working space for an employee is a really important tool for retention, not just for young families who may have children with childcare responsibilities, but also for older workers who may be leaving the workforce prematurely in order to care for aging parents or aging spouses. So, remote work is a really important feature of work-life balance for people who are caregivers. And it's a really important tool that employers can use specifically to keep really qualified female talent in the workforce by allowing them to work at or closer to home, but also by opening remote work for maybe male partners so that they can take on a more hands-on caregiving role and allow their maybe female partners to stay more full-time in the workforce.
I mean, it sounds to me like S-94 is a great idea that needs a lot of support in areas that are below it or surrounding it before it can really come to the right kind of fruition. Bradley, would you agree with that?
I agree with that. I am 100% on board with this idea of attracting and retaining remote workers in Vermont. I think it's hugely beneficial to our economy. It gets us connected to the larger economy, which I think can help to these bigger economies, which I think can help with a lot of the issues that we have in Vermont around affordability and bringing higher paying jobs here. I think there's more work to be done. Hopefully this is just the beginning, and hopefully we'll see a lot more substantive policy around this.
Michael Sterling, you think that's going to happen? I mean, is S-94 going to be a success, do you think?
I think it will be successful, and as the other guests have indicated, and we've talked about quite a bit today, there is much more to be done. There's much more investment that's needed in workforce development, and in particular, attracting and retaining that workforce.
Well, Michael Sterling, Samantha Sheehan, Bradley Holt, I want to thank you so much all for joining us today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.